to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
If you didn't get a chance to see our catfish, we have a catfish coming up here. Man, that's a big one, isn't it? Yeah, if you didn't see our catfish, we have a big catfish up here. All right, you can be seated today. You can be seated today. All right, now that you're seated, stand up. I don't know why I say that every time. Go ahead and stand up. I want to talk to you today. If you didn't notice, we have a big catfish up here. And it's a big one. And it's not going to be as big as the one we're going to show you in just a minute. But it's good size. How old does catfish get? How long can they live? Yeah, it depends on when you catch them. How long can they live? Back at one said they thought like 100 years. Does a catfish live 100 years? Huh? Anybody know? Anybody know for sure? How many vote for 100? Anybody vote for 100? All right, they do, yeah. Catfish can live a long, long time. They can live longer than you. And they get big. We'll show you just a little bit of a big thing. And I started to call the message this morning, The Catfish from Hell, but Jasmine didn't like that title. So we have decided not to call it The Catfish from Hell. We're going to call it a different, there'll be a different name, and we'll show you this minute. I'm going to tell you, we're going to read the story, and this is the story of David and Jonathan. David fled from Naoth to Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" Then Jonathan said to him, and what happens is Jonathan doesn't believe it. And he says, "David, I came. My dad is not after your life," though it was true. And he said, "You hide out here. Let me go and test the waters. Let me go, and you don't come. And I'll ask my father when your seat is empty. When my father brings it up, I'll ask him, and I'll see his reaction. And when his reaction is exactly that, he says, I'll come back. And here's what I'll do." If everything is good and you ought to come back home, then I'm going to come out and I'll bring some arrows and I'm going to bring a little boy with me. And you hide behind a rock. And if everything is good, I'll shoot the arrows and I'll shoot them short. And I'll tell the boy they're short. They're in front of you. But if I shoot the arrows over your head and beyond you, then you'll know that it is true. Trouble is brewing for you. You need to run for your life. And that's the story. And this occurred. So Jonathan goes, "Then Jonathan said to him, 'Tomorrow is a new moon and you'll be missed because your seat will be empty. On the third day, go down quickly to the place where you hide yourself when the matter was in hand and remain beside the stone heap. And I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send the young man saying, go find the arrows. If I say to the young man, look, the arrows are on the side of you, take them, then you are to come. For as the Lord lives, it's safe for you and there's no danger. But if I say to the youth, look, the arrows are beyond you, then go, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between you and me forever.' So David hid himself in the field. And when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat food. In the morning, Jonathan went out and to the field, the appointment with David, and with him a little boy. And he said to his boy, 'Run and find the arrows that I shoot.' As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him." In verse 41. "And as soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and fell on his face on the ground and bowed 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another, and David weeping the most." I want to take as a text, verse 36. "And he said, 'Run and find the arrows that I shoot.' And the boy ran and he shot an arrow beyond him." I want to talk to you this morning when the arrows fly over your head. When the arrows fly over your head. Let's pray this morning. Father, I ask you that you would open our hearts and our minds. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives right now. Thank you for the freshness that we sense and feel of your Spirit. Father, we just yield our hearts before you this morning. We give you the glory for the good and the bad, we say in Jesus' name. Everybody said good amen? Amen. Amen. You can be seated today. I believe God God's got some things to say today, and I'm going to say them. And I hope that it will help you because it's going to probably go against the normal charismatic idea of how our life ought to be. Have you ever noticed that some people live a life and they're saying things and yet their life is nowhere near what they're saying? And yet they pretend or they believe or they think somehow that's, I've got to say that because that's what I'm supposed to be doing or supposed to be living. And the Bible speaks in this story we just read, there was a king on the throne named Saul. And Saul was a absolute madman. He was full of demons, full of evil spirits, and full of rage and anger. Most of that was directed toward David. And a lot of times you'll understand that it's not my problem. It's not really anything I did. The person is full of it, and I just happen to be the one they're pouring it out on. And David was in that position. Saul had disobeyed. There began to be in his life evil spirits. And who all that rage was being poured out toward was David himself. In fact, he hired assassins to kill him. He hired a surveillance team to watch his family if David shows up at home in Bethlehem. David done was hired to come in and play music in the court. That's why he brought him out of the shepherd's field to bring him into the king's court to play the harp to ease the torment that was under when these demon spirits would grab hold of him. And Saul becomes satanically jealous of David because the anointing's on his life. And so he begins to do all these things. He throws spears himself and tries to kill David. And the Holy Spirit would tell David, move left, move right, move left, move right. And these spears would literally pierce the wall inches from the head or inches from the heart of David. And David comes to the place where the only thing going for him was the friendship he had with the king's son named Jonathan. And he and Jonathan were fast friends. They loved each other, the Bible says. In one instant, as I said, as Saul would throw a spear, David would be moved out of the way by the Spirit. That finally David decides, I've got to leave. I'm going to get killed if I don't do something. And he goes, and the story that we read today is a story that we come to. David is out hiding in the field. And finally he tells Jonathan, your dad is trying to kill me. No, he's not. I'll go find out. And the Bible says Saul was so angry when David was not there that he even tries to kill his own son, Jonathan. And Jonathan comes out. He's torn up about it. And he begins to shoot these arrows. And the signal between he and David was this, you hide, David. David's in eyeshot of the palace. He's in earshot of the palace. And Jonathan comes out and I can just see David hiding behind this rock, hoping with all hope that when Jonathan shoots this arrow, these arrows will fall short. And he'll hear Jonathan's voice say, David, everything's okay. There's no problems in your life. It's going to be good. It's going to be fine. You know, nothing to worry about. You know, health, wealth, and prosperity. It's going to be perfect, David. And David sits there and I believe with all my heart, he's watching, he's hoping beyond hope that the arrows will fall short. But as he's watching, that which he feared has come upon him. Because Jonathan takes that first arrow and David is watching. And imagine this. And Jonathan rears and he shoots that arrow. And David watches as that arrow flies over his head. And then he watches as the next arrow flies. And the next arrow, they fly over his head. And what that signaled to David was, David, you're in trouble. David, what you feared is true. David, what you thought is happening. David, there's trouble at the palace. You're not going to the palace. You're going to the wilderness. David, I know the call upon your life is that one day you will be king, but that day is not today. Come on, somebody. You're going to the wilderness. You're not going to the palace right now. You're not going where I know it's yours. I know God's got a plan for you. I know it's going to happen. But for now, the arrow is flying over his head. And I don't know about you, but I am glad that there are other people in the Bible that go through what I go through. Can somebody say amen? They're not living in ivory towers. They're not living lives that no problems ever nibbled at their toes. They're living a life where they went through things that you and I go through and will go through until the day we see Jesus face to face. And the Bible says that it happened. And I like this because if David had never gone to the wilderness, he never would have written some of the Psalms that you and I read in the dark of our nights at times. If he'd never gone to the wilderness, he never would have expressed and tasted of the goodness of God. I like Psalms 121. I want you to see this. I want you to think about David in the wilderness. He's running from his life, for his life from Saul, a madman. It says, a song of ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He'll not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade of your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. And the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Everybody say amen. That wasn't written in a palace. That was written in the wilderness. You don't write stuff like that when you're in the palace most times. You write stuff like that when you're in the wilderness. When you're facing things you don't have an answer for. When this help on this side has left you and the only help you've got is God Almighty. You say, I don't look to the hills. My help doesn't come from this planet. My help comes from the one that sits on high. Come on, somebody. He doesn't sleep, nor does he slumber. He lives there. So you begin to get that. And I like this because, listen, Moses, when you read the life of Moses, he thought he was ready, but the Bible says it was 40 years before he was really ready. He thought he was ready at 40, but God said, you're not going to be ready till you're 80. And he thought he was ready. There are things that you go through that you understand that maybe God is in control and maybe God knows more than I know. Come on, somebody. Maybe God is smarter than a fifth grader. Come on. He is smarter than people on planet Earth. Because we serve a God that sees further, hears further, knows further. You know, I've learned this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Look what this says. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the what? At the what? That means there's an improper time. Is that right? That means there's a proper time and there's an improper time. Moses tried to do what he wanted to do at an improper time. But sometimes we think we're ready when we're not ready. How many of you ever had kids that wanted a shotgun? You ever had a kid wanted a shotgun? You can't. You're only three. You can't have a shotgun yet. Not the proper time. There'll be a time when I'll buy you a 30-30, but now's not the time to get what you want. Dad, I want a car. Hell, I'm 14. I want a car. I want a car. The proper time has not come yet. And yet we do this with God. And the Bible says, humble yourself. When you humble yourself, and you say, God, I'm not smart enough. You're smarter than me. You know the proper time. You know when to give me what I need, when I need it. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Listen, be sober-minded, watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a while. Everybody say suffered a while. I didn't think suffering was part of this. Let me tell you, when you got saved, you may not have read the fine print. But down in the fine print, it said, you're going to suffer at times. After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory, Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Everybody say amen this morning. Listen, trouble comes to every house. If you listen, people who don't understand the plan and the purposes of God, that there will be seasons of your life when you will go through trouble and trials. Trouble comes to every life. Acts 14, Paul said this. He got stoned one time and they all thought he was dead and they went out and prayed over him and God raised him from the dead. Notice what he said. The Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and have won over the crowds. They stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him he got up, entered the city the next day and went away to Barnabas to Derbe, about 18 miles away. After they had preached the gospel of the city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them, continuing in the faith, saying, what did they say? Tell me what he said. No. You're reading it wrong. It says, we will have health and wealth all the days of our life. There'll never be a trouble. Skies will be blue. There'll be no storms. The sea will be calm. I won't face any problems. It's a bed of roses once you say, Jesus, come into my heart. And life will be so good because I'll never have another problem in my life. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no disease. There'll be no heartache. Is that what the Bible says? Paul said, tell them through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of, everybody say through many. Let me tell you what blue skies do. Blue skies will make you stale. Blue skies all the days of your life will make you stagnant. Look what it says in the next scripture. I think Peter. Go on to the next one. It says, Zephaniah says, it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I'll punish all the men who are what? Stagnant in spirit. You know what blue skies do? If all you have is blue skies in your life, you become stagnant in your life. Stagnant in spirit. Look at the next scripture. It says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be what? Sluggish. You know what a slug is? Do you know what a spiritual slug is? Well, we'll leave that right there. How many know you don't have to run away from a slug? How many know a slug won't overtake you? You know why? Because they're sluggish. That's why they're called slugs. They're sluggish. And I have seen, let me tell you what blue skies do. Blue skies will cause you to become stale and sluggish. You'll become a stagnant Christian. You won't have to read the Bible anymore. Why to read the Bible? I mean, you get up, next thing you know, you got things to do, places to go, people to see. Things are fast. You don't need the Bible. Pray. I don't need to pray in the mornings. I come to church, but you don't really sing. You're thinking about what am I going to do? You know, what's for lunch? What's tomorrow? What's going to be tonight? What's on the TV set? Who I'm going to meet? You don't need all that stuff. You come in and you begin to criticize, you know, this and that and the loudness or the song or the preaching. You don't need all that. It's just you become sluggish in your walk with God. But God, listen, the God of the universe who made us and called us has a plan and has a way of keeping us from becoming stale and how to help us to become fresh and stay fresh in our life. Let me explain it to you. The best way I know how to explain it to you is there was a story I read once. It was a true story. And it was a story of a fisherman and a bunch of fishermen that fished for a living. And they would come in every day and they'd sell their fish, and everybody would come down to the harbor and they would sell their fish. And when they were doing that, as the years rolled by, they noticed that one of the fishermen, began to sell more fish than the rest of them. And what happened was, usually, he would sell out first and he'd go on home, and the rest of them would be selling most of the rest of the day. And so finally it got the better of them, and one day one of the guys came over and said, what's the deal? We all fish in the same lake. We all, what's the deal? How come you always have the people who are kind of lined up at your dock and you kind of sell out before the rest of us? And we all mostly sell out, but it takes us forever and sometimes we don't. What's the secret? And like any good businessman, he says, I'm not going to tell you. So that went on year after year. And they never, why this guy, same fish, same lake, all that. And finally, one day, the old guy died. And when his daughter was down taking care of business, selling off and getting rid of the stuff and going to sell off the boat, one of the old fishermen walked over and says, man, can I ask you a question? That's your dad. Wasn't that was your dad? Yeah, that was my dad. He said, hey, we have this curiosity that we have never figured out. He said, we all fish the same lake. We all do all that. But when we came in, your dad... always they were lined up at your dad's place and he always sold out first and then he went on home. What's the trick? And he said, now listen, we went and asked some of the people and they told us that his fish seemed a lot fresher than our fish. And they said, well, it can't be true. We all have big live wells and we all put them in there. We all come in. And so what did he do? What's the trick? And she said, well, come on. She said, I'm selling everything off. I'll show you. She brought him on and she opened that big old live well and he looked down there and there was a big old catfish in the bottom of that live well. And here's what she said. You know what my daddy found out? We threw this catfish in one time and said the first one we had, we threw it in there not knowing. And we looked in it was catfish. But you know what we learned out? Dad found out? Dad found out that a catfish is very territorial. That a catfish guards its place. And when he dumped his fish in, when he catches these fish, he dumped these fish in. He said that catfish became territorial and began to chase all the other fish. And said, you ought to have seen that day. From the time we started in the morning till we came in the dock, when we opened up our live well, all of our fish was flipping and flopping, kind of get away from the catfish. Come on, somebody. And it made them look fresh. And people that looked down, my dad would, everybody come look down, look at my fish. And they looked down, and those fish be flipping and flopping all like you just caught them right out of this. I mean, like they were fresh could be. Can I tell you there is a catfish from hell? Come on, somebody. There is a cat. You know what God wants? God wants us to stay fresh in Him. God doesn't want us to be stagnant. He doesn't want us to be stale. He doesn't want us to be docile. He doesn't want us to be sluggish. He doesn't want us to be that. He wants us to be fresh, flipping and flopping for Him all the day long. And the way He has designed it, whether you believe it or not, He has created a being called the devil who fell. And then the Bible says, whatever way you want to go, God will use you. God would have used him as a good angel. I believe he was a good angel to start with. But he fell. And now what it is, God is not in a contest with the devil. There's no fight between, a tug of war between. He's God Almighty. And what he's done is he's using the devil to stir up us, to keep us fresh and keep us on our knees before God and crying out to God and seeking his word and needing prayer in our life. Come on, somebody, give a good clap offering. God is doing. You know what the devil means for evil. God always turns around for good. And all the devil is someone that God has used. Hey, I know many, how many of you would like to have a personal trainer? How many would like to have a personal trainer in your life? Let me tell you, you got one. Come on, somebody. He's called the catfish from hell. And what he does is God just uses him. And what the devil means for evil, God turns it around for good. He'll bring things in our lives and he'll allow that fish to keep nibbling on our heels. And we get over one side and we just want to be settled down, secure and sluggish. And then next thing you know, the catfish from hell is nibbling on your fins and you start taking off again. Have you ever seen an aquarium where one is one just an attack fish? And you know, he says, won't let that fish have any peace. Let me tell you, that's what the devil does, and God uses him to keep us fresh. You know, 1 Peter 5:6 says, at the proper time. David thought he was ready. God knew he wasn't ready. Some of us think we're ready for our plan and our purpose, but God knows we're not ready at times. And at the proper time, Joseph said this, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Let me tell you something. I can tell you, it doesn't take much discernment whatsoever to tell who the devil is nibbling on and who he's chasing around when we start worshiping in here. People that's got it good, blue skies, more money you can ever think about, your family's all good, healthy. You come into a phase, you've got, oh yes, God, I love you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. You're thinking about lunch. You're thinking about, you know, work tomorrow. But you know the difference when you see somebody walk in those doors who's being chased by the devil. They don't care if the song's fast, slow. They don't care if it's new, old. They don't care if they like the tune. They don't like the tune, if it's loud or short. They don't care about nothing. They just need God in their life. They're just seeking the Lord because you know why? They're fresh. They're hungry for God. You know why? Because the devil's come in their life and began to torment them. And so what it does, it keeps you on fire. It keeps those who the catfish are after. You know, I don't know about you, but when our kids were little, we used to take them over to Chunky Cheese. You ever been to Chunky Cheese? That's what I call it. They call it Chunky Cheese. And you know what? They had a game. I don't know. We used to play all these games. They'd eat. We'd feed them. And then we'd go play the games. It was really nice because they were locked in. They couldn't get out of there. And you could just eat pizza and then they'd come get you. But they always wanted us to play games with them. And one of the games I always used to think about was my life was that. You remember that game where they gave you a mallet and this head popped up. And you smack that head. You ever did that? You smack one, three comes up. Come on, somebody. You smack another one comes up. And that's the way, I don't know about you, that's the way my life is. I smack one, three comes up. I smack those down, four more come over. I think I got all of it settled. All the problems are finished. And next thing, come on, somebody. I mean, that's the way my life is. I don't know how your life is. I'm just telling you how my life is. And I said, knock one down, three more comes up. And it's all it is a catfish from hell. All it is a devil trying to do his worst. But what it is, it's God's personal trainer keeping me fresh and keeping me on my knees for God. Instead of getting stale, I'm hungry for God. Instead of getting stagnant and sluggish, I need God. Without Him, my eyes are not coming to my help doesn't come from the hills. It comes from the one that made me. And so what God does, God brings those things and He countermands the devil. I've got news for you. Satan is not destroying you. Whatever it is you think you're going through, listen, whatever you're facing, God is just making sure you stay fresh all the days of your life. You, Pastor, but you don't know the tragedy. You don't know the tragedy I've gone through. I'm sitting here telling you flat-footed. The Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. Put in there, come on, put in there whatever you want. See, an immature Christian says God is good when the sun is shining. A mature Christian comes and says God is good all the time. When it rains and when it doesn't rain. You know, a king says it this way. The people of Israel were mustered and were provisioned and went against them. And the people of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of goats. But the Syrians filled the country. And the man of God came near and said to the king of Israel, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is a God of the hills, but He's not the God of the valleys. Therefore, I will give this great multitude into your hands, and you'll know that I... You hear that? He said, the enemy says, your God is only the God when you're on the mountaintop. He's not God when you're in the valley. I can tell you something. He's God whether you're on the mountaintop or He's God whether you're in the valley. Come on. He's still God. You've got to come, a mature person comes to the place where they understand He's God of the valleys and He's God of the mountains. It doesn't matter what's going through my life. The ideal approach to life is this. Because you believe God is on the throne, it doesn't matter what you face, you can say, thank you, Jesus. You can, listen, in everything, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. If you can only give God thanks when you're on that mount, if you can only give God thanks when the arrows fall short, and you can't give God thanks when they fly over your head, then you're still in an immature state. If you think that only thing is going to happen is health, wealth, and prosperity, you ain't living the life I'm living. You got to come to the place where you say, God, come good, come bad, come mountaintops, come valleys, come the arrow short, shoot, or the arrow shoot long. Whether it's my children, whether it's me, whether it's my family, my husband, my wife, God, I will praise you till the day I die. Though you slay me, yes, I will serve you. I love you, God. That, when you come to that place, nothing on earth can move you. The Bible says they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony. And here's the other way they overcame Him. They loved not their lives unto death. They stood the test of time and didn't matter what came their way. They weren't some little candy Christians where a little bit of trouble and they began to get mad at God. Come what may, I'm going to serve Him. Come what may, I'll praise Him because He knows more than me. He's smarter than me. Sometimes we don't have a clue. We try to make, well, this is why this happened. And I know this happened to them because of this. We don't have a clue sometimes. Can I get a better amen? We don't have a clue. I don't know why that cancer came. I don't know why that wreck came. I don't know why that death happened. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue because I'm not God. He didn't tell me. And if He didn't tell me, I'm not going to make stuff up and pretend like I'm smarter than I am. Come on, somebody help me. You'll get put on that show one day. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? How many know that's an embarrassing show to be on? I think we ought to have one of those in the church. We ought to have one of those in the church. And I'm going to tell you, we learn a whole lot of what we don't know. And when the truth came out, because there's a lot of times we don't know. We don't have a clue. We don't know why. You know, we try to figure everything out, but I got this little saying I want you to admit. Listen, in a tapestry, the dark threads are just as important as the gold threads. In a tapestry, the dark threads are just as important as the gold threads. See, when God gets through with that old catfish, you know what he's going to do? The Bible says it's very plain. He's going to pick that old catfish up by the tail. I'm not going to do it right now, but he's going to pick that old catfish up by the tail. And he's going to drop that catfish into hell. And we're going to look, and the Bible says we're going to say, this is what we were afraid of. You know, the Bible says that he made us fishers of men. That's what, and so we were fished one day. We were fished that were caught by fishers of men. But you know what he does? He takes us and he drops us in that live well as a fish. And then he tells the old catfish from hell, now get them. And all the days of our lives are spent dealing with one tribulation after another. And what it does is it keeps us fresh and wanting his word and wanting his spirit. See, some of you, when you first fell in love, that's what Revelation is. Some of you, when you first were saved, you were so in love with Jesus. You did other things. You did all that. You lived life. You did that. But what mattered and what gave you, what meant to you was the presence of the Lord in your life. But what happens when you grow stale, you begin to look to external things to make you happy. You have to take trips. You have to make more money. You have to buy and sell. You have to do this and that and go and see. And all those things that you would, when they're in their right place, no problem. But nothing satisfies like the presence of Jesus. Nothing will satisfy when you come, because you brought nothing in, you'll take nothing out. But when you come to the place where you're hungry for God, come on, somebody. When you want him, when your heart is for him, when you want to know him, when you want to love him, when you're back with your first love and you love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your will. And it doesn't matter what occurs in this life, you're mature and you stand up and you say, God, let all things work together for the good. You love me. I don't understand it. I don't have a clue why this is happening. But I believe with all my heart, Lord, that it's going to that one day I will accomplish what you've told me to accomplish. Do you think one madman, evil demon spirit, a demon controlled man can keep God's purpose from happening in the life of David? We read it now and realize exactly that. David did ascend the throne one day, and he did make it. No matter what happens, God is in control. You know, listen to this. When Noah got off the ark, he just experienced 40 days and 40 nights of nonstop clouds in his life, nonstop rain in his life. And I want you to notice what it says here. God said, I've set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. I don't know, how many has ever seen a rainbow lately? You seen a rainbow lately? Let me tell you about a rainbow. Rainbows don't come unless there's been rain. Rainbows don't come unless there's clouds somewhere. Rainbows don't show up on clear blue days. Rainbows don't show when all it is the sun shining. If you see, the rainbow was a sign of the covenant, the agreement between us and God. Let me tell you, when you really see the promise of God in your life, it's when the rain clouds come, not when the sun shines. It's when the rain clouds are there in your life. It's when those happen that you begin to believe God. You know, I'll never forget this. We were in an orphanage one time, and they had this written. I'll never forget it. Look what it said. These orphans wrote this. It says, if there'd been no tears falling from our eyes, there'd be no rainbows in our heart. If there'd been no tears falling from our eyes, there'd be no rainbows in our hearts. You know, one of the things I've learned about life, in just a few minutes, you're going to walk out these doors. And I learned this. And, you know, you're going to have to take with you whether you believe this or not. And I'm going to tell you, I believe this with all my heart. It doesn't matter to me what happens in my life. I serve a God who loves me infinitely. And he is not mad at me. He's not punishing me. But I've got to realize this and be truthful. I've got to be truthful with you. I've had diseases in my body. I've had hurts in my body. I've had miraculous healings in my body. And yet mingled with that, seeming as if it's a dichotomy, I've had the hurts, the heartaches, the breaks. But what it's done is it has brought me back to Him. I want musicians to come on up. Musicians, you guys come on up. It has kept me hungry for His Word. I'm going to tell you, we had a great 3 weeks of fasting. How many of you had trouble since we had to fast? Anybody had trouble since the 21-day fast? And you know what it did? You know, my heart's cry was, God, don't let me grow stale now. Don't let me go back to, you know. And you know what God did? God just said, okay, catfish, go get them. And had the catfish nibble away. And you know what? I don't know if you're hungry for the Word of God. I don't know if you're hungry for Him, if you're hungry for His Word, if you're hungry for prayer and worship. You know what happens is God begins to use things that we don't understand and see in our lives and do stuff in our lives. I want everybody to stand up this morning, would you? I want you to stand up. Musicians, go ahead and just start playing music. You know, God knows what to do and God knows the timing of everything. And some of you may be in a situation where the arrows have flown over your head. You might have been sitting and hiding by that rock and waiting and looking and hoping beyond hope that the arrows will fall short. But you're sitting there and you're watching. Bring a light to you up. Then you're watching, and as you looked up in your heart, you saw the arrows. Instead of falling short, you saw the arrows shoot over your head. And instead of going to the palace and fulfilling what you feel like was God's will for your business, for your home, for your life, for, you know, kids, you name it. Instead of that, you're heading toward the wilderness. Let me tell you something about the God you serve. He will bring to pass that which He has promised in the proper time. And what God is doing, God cares more about you and your growth than your comfort. He loves you. He didn't save us to bring us on a bed of roses into heaven. My Bible says through much tribulation we'll enter the kingdom of God. When the day is done and I lay and breathe my last, my eyes closed for that one last time, I want to be able to say, Lord, I believed You were my God in the valleys as well as the mountains. I didn't look to the hills, Lord. My strength and my help didn't come from there. My help came from You. You've been my strength and my help all the days of my life. And Lord, as we as David have cried out to You in the wilderness and wept before You, Lord, not understanding, not knowing why You let this or that happen, we can still believe You when we cannot trace You. We can trust when we cannot trace You. Psalm says His steps are in the deep sea. That means you can't follow Him sometimes, but you can still trust Him when you cannot even follow Him. You can know Him and know His heart. You can understand Him and know that He's God of the valleys as well as God of the mountains. When you're sitting there with your loved ones in your arms, when you're sitting there with your eyes full of tears, understand this, rainbows are never given in cloudless days. Rainbows are given when the storm darkness comes and invades your life. And you don't know what to do and you don't know an answer. And you hear everybody else come with just little answers that mean nothing to you. And your heart cries out for a living God, not for an Old Testament God and not for a God of your first, but a living God. You say, God, I want to know the living God. I don't want to just be in this thing stale. I don't want to live a life of automatic just coming to church. I want to be alive. I want to be alive. I want to be alive. I want to know You. I want to walk with You. I want that which satisfies my soul, not to be material things. I want that which satisfies my soul to be the presence of a living God. I want to be so close to Him that on the day that I die, it will be no great change. On the day that I step over, it won't be that big a change. Because I would have walked with Him and talked with Him. And He talks with me and I talk with Him. And on that day when He calls me, it'll be a physical change, but it won't be that big a spiritual change because I will have talked with Him and walked with Him and lived with Him live, fresh. And I don't know where your walk with God is this morning, but I'm going to tell you, if things are going awry in your life, it's not because God is angry. It's because God wants you to be fresh and hunger for Him and put your eyes back on Him. Fixing your eyes on Him. and beginning to let all the other things just fall away. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. I remember one time there was a guy so down. He was about to commit suicide, and a couple came over to see him. And they had a word from God. They didn't even know him. And they said, you know what? God has a word for you. God says, I have checked into your future, and everything is secure, and everything will be all right. Can I tell you this morning, God has checked into your future, and everything is secure, and everything's going to be all right. You might lose it all in this life. What does it matter? One day you will inherit the kingdom of God. One day you will be one of the highest ranking people in the universe. One day you will be. What if your body is racked with this or that today? Believe God with all your heart for healing. But one day it really won't matter. From dust you came, and dust you're going to return. Believe this or not, you can believe in healing as much as you want, but the day will come when you're going to die. I mean, that's just the way it is. You will die. I never forget, I woke up in the night and thought about David when he was dying. Old man, the Bible says he began to shake with coldness. He couldn't get, and they got a young virgin and brought her to wed David. And the Bible says it was like one of those things that happen when you grow old, or how you grow cold. I was thinking of all the miraculous things happening in David's life. He killed Goliath. I mean, he wrote Psalms under the inspiration of the Spirit. He ripped up lions and bears. He ruled kingdoms. He saw angels in his life. And yet he was still subject to the frailties of this body and this life. And yet he said this. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes you have to lift your eyes from the nasty now and now and put them on the glorious by and by. Yeah, you really do. Because it comes to the place where God loves you more than life could tell. I don't know what you're facing, but I'm sitting here flat-footed this morning telling you, listen, all things work together for the good. And God will use what the devil means for evil. The day will come when you'll lift those eyes and you'll see Jesus in a way you've never saw him before. And you'll love him in a way you've never loved him before. And when you come into the house of God, you're going to come in and you're going to fall in love with him and worship him. And you're not going to worry about the temperature and the music and the preaching. You're just going to love Jesus. You're just after Jesus. You just want Jesus. I want you to close your eyes. And Nick, lead us in a worship. I want you just to let the Holy Spirit speak to you just for a few minutes before we go today. Go ahead, Nick, and lead us.
Times to bend. You were-
Come on, give a great clap offering today. Come on. Hey, I want you to know I love you with all my heart. But I want to be honest with you and tell you those things today. So like Paul did, through much tribulation, we're going to enter the kingdom. But it's not going to harm you. He's not out to hurt you. It's for your good. And the day that you go, you ought to be fresher, love Him more, and seek Him and hungry for His word. And as mature and growing older in the Lord, you ought to be able to lift your voice, say, God, I love you. You have proven to me you're my God in the valley and on the mountains. And when the catfish from hell chases me, I'll know you mean it for my good. And Lord, I allow you to do what the devil meant for evil, you'll do for good. Everybody said amen. Hey, give one more good clap offering. Would you do that? Hug somebody. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night and then Friday night. Hug somebody before you go today.